Thank you, Bishu, and Sairam to all listeners of Radio Sai. This is Prem, your friend from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you to yet another beautiful episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. We are going through the enriching experience of going through the discourses Swami delivered as part of the 1990 summer course. And we've had the pleasure of going through the first four discourses, and we are somewhere midway in the fifth discourse. And I also have the pleasure of having the company, as always, of Brother Sai Prakash. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. So right now we are dealing with the fifth discourse in the series, and it's labeled Road to Divinity. And what Swami is speaking of in this discourse is the control of senses. And without any doubt, controlling the senses is definitely the royal road to divinity.
Well, you know, that itself is a beautiful point, where that which is named Road to Divinity, that discourse which is named Road to Divinity, is talking about everything which is internal.
Yeah.
There itself sending the message that divinity is not something which is beyond you or above you.
Mm-hmm.
It is something which is within you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe quickly we can go through this discourse, the main points which Swami has made.
Sure.
Swami starts off with his poem.
Mm-hmm.
It almost, even though we are just midway in the discourse, it gives a beautiful summary of what is this whole discourse about.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swami says, the darkness of impurity is the cause for ignorance.
Okay.
So where there is purity, the ignorance cannot be. And Swami gives the analogy of how bats infest a place which is dark.
Yes.
Similarly, ignorance infests a mind which is not pure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami hints that he alone is a man who seeks the one, who has blessed his ears with the power to hear and endowed his eyes with a glow of sight. And that's what, somewhat later in the discourse, Swami makes that point, that ask yourself, who's the one who's enjoying?
True.
Ask the one, even though the eyes are seeing, who's the one who's actually enjoying the sight? Even though you hear, even though you taste, who's the one who's actually enjoying those things? And Swami says, if you take to that kind of an inquiry, then you will understand, and you can go beyond the vagaries of the mind and the pulls of the senses. The other point which Swami makes, and a good part of the discourse is based on that, where Swami says the importance of controlling the tongue.
Yes.
And Swami makes that wonderful statement. It's really a standout statement in the parts of the discourse we've gone through, where Swami says, true sadhana lies in merging the faculty of speech in the mind, and in turn merging the mind in the intellect, and merging the intellect in the Atman. That is true sadhana.
Yes.
And of course, that beautiful example of from the Kathopanishad, where Swami says, if you consider the horse as the body, and if you want to control the horse, the bridle has to be put in the horse's mouth.
Yeah, before that, actually, Swami tells about when the tongue stops talking, the mind starts chatting.
Right.
Chattering. And in order to control the mind, the intellect has to be awakened. That's how he links and brings out this hierarchy. In many of Swami's discourses, which he has given, Swami mentions that the Vak is the grandson of Atma.
Okay.
He says Atma, and then the son is the mind, and then the grandson is Vak. And he has given a lot of importance to the word, the power of the word. And he would, as we mentioned even in the last episode, constantly tell his students, talk less, have less contacts, talk less. But talk less was so important. And as we also mentioned in the last episode, that he would physically reward students who were talking less.
You know, whenever you say this talk less, something with Swami himself, you know, exemplified in many ways, more than one. Because I remember, even as a student, one of the most beautiful images which I had was how Swami would command people without using words at all.
Yes.
No, because when Swami used to come and stand in the portico, if Swami is going out for a drive, he would just look towards the Purnachandra auditorium where the cars would be parked, the garage. Just one look and you could hear that, you know, we will all be looking at Swami and the image of Swami will be looking towards the PC and you can hear the shutters go up.
Correct.
No, no message sent, no, nobody, no, I mean, if it was us, we would wave and, you know, try to catch that person's attention. It's just one look and the car would come and then Swami would get in. And, you know, everything would be so subtle and just so much would be conveyed just by Swami's eyes and the way Swami would...
That's because the Atma was controlling everything else.
Absolutely.
I mean...
And even in a physical sense, Swami gave us that opportunity to be so tuned with Him. Because if you were not all concentration on Him, it would be very difficult to, you know, notice these things Swami would want.
Many of the things that Swami did was just with gestures.
Very true.
And, you know, especially when He is sitting in the bhajan hall, and then if somebody... is slightly going out of Shruti, the singer, you know, just a subtle look or a small frown on his face, and you know,
be very gentle, very
gentle,
very subtle. And
he does not want the public to react sharply on his students. At the same time, the student has to be corrected. So this is very subtle gesture so that the student knows.
And even the way Swami would signal for aarti.
Yes. He would just
that feet moving and pushing the footstool, that was the sign.
But you know, it has, once or twice what has happened is Swami sitting on the chair and he's just adjusting his legs. Swami just lifts his feet and puts it on the other and the boys think it's time for aarti. Swami says, hey.
that actually emphasizes the point of being in tune only physically with Swami.
That's the point. That's
when
true.
You're only physically watching Swami and trying to read His actions.
True.
That's when the internal contact, I think Swami must have purposely orchestrated events like
very
that
possible.
So that we feel that you know, this connect is still not as deep as it should be.
Very true.
And going on to talk about speech, Swami says that, you know, how important it is to be so careful with the words which you speak. Because so much harm can be caused by one word, as much as so much gain can be accrued because of goodness in the faculty of speech.
You know, speaking of speech and speaking of control of speech, you know, so as I mentioned that Swami would often tell that the memory power increases.
Right.
Students should talk less because their memory power increases and their concentration increases. But you know, I had a very interesting episode and experience when I went with my family to Badrinath.
Okay.
And there we went to the ashram of a young Swamiji. Who is known as Mauni Baba.
Okay.
Okay, the reason why they called him Mauni Baba is for a good 20 and odd years, he has just kept silence. And his Guruji has inspired him to just keep silent. And what is interesting at the end, we went and of course we had a discussion with him. We just met him and then, in fact, he was very kind to us. He said, Baba has given me the duty to explain to his devotees that yes, his physical form is not there, but he is always with his devotees. So he took the time and he especially, the moment he got to know we were devotees of Swami, he took the time to explain. That was so nice of him. He's very young. But what really, you know, I had a question in my mind because he sounded and he was very knowledgeable and he was able to quote from the scriptures. And he was quite well-read, I thought. So then I asked him, all these years when you were keeping Maunam, did you read a lot, did you? Then he just smiled and he said, you know, beyond a particular level, the whole world of knowledge opens up to us. We just tap in from that world of knowledge. And he says that is the case with everybody. The moment you go beyond this, the moment you start seeing inward, you are able to tap into this whole world of knowledge that exists, which is in the reach of each and everyone. Anybody can just tap into this world of knowledge which exists already within you. All you have to do is look within and be silent. I mean, it goes to that level. And he says, it just comes to me. The whole knowledge just comes to me.
That's, you know, quite similar to what happened in the 1972 Samukhosa, I think, when Swami had a Samukhosa on the Vedas. Mm-hmm. A similar thing happened. You know, okay. Swami started talking about Vedas, the people who have categorized the Vedas, and the different schools of Vedas, people who have written commentaries on the Vedas. Swami started mentioning these names. Then Swami started mentioning some Western philosophers who studied the Vedas, like Max Müller and a few. And then Swami started speaking about other Western philosophers who have not studied the Vedas but given their own views and which are also good. So Swami started naming some philosophers nobody has heard.
Okay.
Some very phenomenal discourse that was. At the end of it, Gokak was really stunned. You know, he went and asked Swami, Swami, you named some of these philosophers whom we study only if we study philosophy. Only if you're doing a postgraduate in philosophy, we get to know all these writers and thinkers. But how did you, you know, when did you get the time to read all this, Swami? Know about all this? In fact, to him, Swami said, to start with, Swami said, I don't have the bad habit of reading books. Swami said, Naka a chetta alvat lene ledu. Swami said, I don't have that bad habit of reading books at all. Swami said, see, the human mind is so much more superior than you can even imagine. He said, if the mind is still, there is a portion in the brain for every kind of knowledge. You just have to tap that portion. And you can have access to any knowledge in the world. And clearly Swami is saying that there was nothing divine in what I did. Each one of you can do this, but it's just that since you don't know about it.
How amazing. In fact, if you just extend this whole thing a little bit, all the knowledge that has been and which is being generated today just continues to exist. Like when you talk of the light years that light takes to travel. Now we are talking of galaxies that were that had emitted their light millions of light years before, and we are seeing them today. And when such a thing is happening, light is always present. Possibly, if you can really tune yourself, we may be able to listen to the voice of Lord Krishna teaching the Bhagavad Gita, or we may be able to listen. We may be able to listen to anything or get that knowledge. It sounds like a world of infinite possibilities.
You know, coming to this point of Swami saying the importance of saying what you're saying, and you know, because one thing we always do is we speak words very frivolously, without meaning what we speak, you know, in the emotion, either in a very jovial mood or in a mood of temper. We utter words which we don't actually agree with most of the times.
Correct.
Which might not actually reflect what we think of the situation of the person, but we just say that. I was just hearing one of the talks, talk by Mrs. Karuna Munshi, you know, the Samarpan talks, it's going to be shortly on the website, where she says a very beautiful incident when Swami invites all her classmates for an interview in the bhajan hall, and Swami is talking to them, and during that course of that interview, Swami is explaining to them what are the virtues a woman should always hold on to, because they're all graduating young women. And then Swami tells them of how a wife should conduct herself. And Swami is telling a very, very beautiful and very, in Swami's typical fashion, a very hilarious story. And Swami is imitating how the husband behaves and how the wife behaves, how the husband behaves in the office when he comes back home, how he behaves with all the, you know, dramatics which goes with it. And at one point, the whole gathering burst out into laughter, and they were all laughing. And immediately, Swami became serious, and he said, no, girls should not laugh like this. Swami said, this is not right. Girls should not laugh like this. And then Swami went on to tell the story of Draupadi. How her laughter was the cause for the whole of the Mahabharata wars.
True.
She says when you know, Duryodhana trips and falls into the pool inside the Indraprastha palace, she laughs aloud and she says, after all, the blind king's son is also blind, or something like that. She says, and in fact, that is the cause for the whole of the Mahabharata.
The war, and you
know, Swami says it's so important. And in that case, Swami was emphasizing for the character of women, but I think it holds for everybody.
Correct.
And the other important point which Swami made here, and some of the stories which followed were reflecting that thought, was the importance of equanimity in controlling of the senses.
Very true. He says that it may not be always possible to prevent the senses and their objects from coming into mutual contact.
Right.
But it's possible to develop an attitude of equipoise.
And then Swami gives that analogy of if somebody is talking ill of you, Swami says, till those words reach your ear, your mind is not disturbed. But the moment they reach your ear, so Swami is saying that, that ignorance of the word which is spoken and a state of equanimity, that is what gives you peace. So the point which Swami makes is you cannot always run away from criticism. You know, ignorance is a happy thing, but you cannot always run away from it. But if you develop this equanimity, then you are shielded from any kind of attack, verbal or otherwise, from the others. And then of course Swami goes on to narrate a few stories of the philosopher called Philip Sidney. And then we stopped at a very interesting point where
Swami is talking of Prahlada,
and Prahlada telling a story to his friends. So in what context does he say that story?
No, actually before that, let us just reiterate again the four sins of the tongue. The four lapses, rather: uttering lies, carrying tales against others, criticizing or scandalizing others, and excessive talking. Even excessive talking is a lapse of the tongue. So what Swami says is how Prahlada was, he first says how each animal has been a victim to one of the sense organs. How the deer is for the sense of sound, the elephant for the sense of touch, the moth for the sense of sight, the fish for the sense of taste, and the bee for the sense of smell. So, in that context, he says,
man is the only animal which is, you know, who is drawn by all the senses.
Correct.
Who can fall prey to all the senses.
And then he gives the example of Prahlada, how in spite of all the cruel attempts that were made to destroy him, he stuck on to the spiritual path and the Lord's name. And here is the story that Prahlada was narrating to some of his...
The story which Prahlada hears from Narada, which he is narrating to his friends.
Yes, to his friends in the ashram.
Okay, so maybe we go to that clip and listen to that story which Prahlada is narrating.
ఒక రాజుకు అనేక మంది భార్యలు ఉండేటువంటి వారు. ఏ పర్టికులర్ కింగ్ హ్యాడ్ ఏ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ వైఫ్స్. ఈ సౌతల కోరను భరించుకోలేక అతను నిరంతరం కొరను చింతించుకుండేటువంటి వాడు. నాట్ బీయింగ్ ఏబుల్ టు మేనేజ్ సో మెనీ వైఫ్స్, హీ వాజ్ వరీడ్. ఈ లోకములో భార్యల వల్ల చింతలేనటువంటి ఒక వ్యక్తి ఉన్నాడా అని ఒక సందేహం వచ్చింది. హీ గాట్ ఏ డౌట్, ఈజ్ దేర్ ఎనీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ who does not suffer after having
married. ఒకనాడు తన రాజ్యం లోపల అట్టి వారెవరైనా ఉన్నారా అని పరీక్షించి చేయకోరి రెండు పెండాలు వేయించాడు పెద్దవి.
This king put up two pendals in order to find out whether there is any human being who is not worried after being married.
ప్రతి వ్యక్తి కూడాను దీన్ని వర్ణించి చెప్పడం అసాధ్యమని గుర్తించుకుని ఒక పెండాల పైన భార్యకు లోబడిన వారెవరో ఇక్కడ కూర్చోవాలి.
On the one pendal there was a particular thing written, and that is those people who are not controlled by their wives could go into this pendal.
Varyanu lobarchukunna varevaro ee pendal lo kurchovali ani rendu board kattinchadu.
In the other one, those people who have controlled their wives, they could go into that pendal.
Variku lobadinatunti varu oka pendal lo, varyanu lobarchukunnatunti varu maroka pendal lo kurchovali ani cheppani nirnayinchadu.
People controlled by the wives would go into one pendal. People controlling their wives should go into another pendal.
Sare, ee vaartanu vinnaru. Maharaj dagara asatyanga manam pravartiste emaina shikshi ivvachunu anukune uddeshanto andaru varyaku lobadinatunte pendal lo kurchuntu vacharu. Veeru sankhya chalachalamulaku perigipothu vachindi.
After hearing this particular announcement, all the people, out of fear for the king, began going into the pendal which is meant for
yastamu kavastundadi evvaru okkaraina ee pendalaku raavatam ledu.
There was not even one person who was going into the other pendal.
Ivvalla chustunte okanoka vyakti vachi aa bhajyanu vasaparchukunnatunte oka pendal lo ninchukunnadu.
ఓన్లీ వన్ పర్సన్ అట్ లాస్ట్ ఎంటర్డ్ ఇన్ టు ద పెండాల్ విచ్ ఇస్ మెంట్ ఫర్ పీపుల్ కంట్రోల్
పోషించాడు. ఒక్కడైనా ఉంటున్నాడు నా రాజ్యంలో అనుకోని.
దిస్ కింగ్ వాజ్ ఓవర్జాయిడ్ దట్ దేర్ ఇస్ అట్లీస్ట్ వన్ పర్సన్ హూ హాస్ కంట్రోల్డ్ హిస్ వైఫ్.
అతని దగ్గరికి వెళ్లి చాలా గౌరవంగా, అయ్యా మీరు భార్యకు వశమైనటువంటి వారా, భార్యను వశం చేసుకున్నటువంటి వారా, సత్యం పలకమని చెప్పాడు.
He went to that particular gentleman and respectfully he spoke to him, well sir, let me know whether you have controlled the wife or you are being controlled by the wife. Let me know the truth.
Maharaja, నేను అసత్యం ఎప్పుడూ చెప్పను, నేను సత్యమే పలుకుతున్నాను, నేను భార్యకు లోబడిన చెప్పి వాడ నేను అన్నాడు.
ఓ కింగ్, ఐ విల్ నెవర్ టెల్ ఎనీ అన్ట్రూత్, ఐ ఆల్వేస్ స్పీక్ ట్రూత్ ఓన్లీ.
మరి ఎందుకు ఈ పెండాల్లో వచ్చావు, ఆ పెండాల్లో పోయి నిలుచుకోమన్నాడు.
ఐ హావ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఒబేడ్ మై వైఫ్, హీ సెడ్. దెన్ వై హావ్ యూ కమాండ్ దిస్ పెండాల్?
ఏమి ఆజ్ఞ ఇచ్చినా నేను ఇక్కడ నుంచి కదలను అన్నాడు.
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ కమాండ్ మీ టు గో ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ పెండాల్ టు ది అదర్, ఐ కెనాట్ గో టు ది అదర్.
ఇంత మూర్ఖంగా ప్రవర్తిస్తున్నావని మహారాజు కొంచెం కోపంగా మాట్లాడాడు.
కింగ్ బికేమ్ యాంగ్రీ అండ్ ఆస్క్డ్ వై ఆర్ యూ బిహేవింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ సచ్ స్టూపిడ్ ఫ్యాషన్.
ఆ వ్యక్తి చెప్పాడట, నేను ఇంటి నుండి బయలుదేరి వచ్చే సమయంలో నా భార్య ఒక ఆజ్ఞ చెప్పింది, ఎవరూ ఉండినటువంటి అందరూ ఉండినటువంటి పెండాల్లో నీవు ఉండకూడదు, ఎవరూ లేని పెండాల్లో నీవు పోయి నిలుచుకోమని చెప్పింది. అందువల్ల నీ ఆజ్ఞనైనా నేను ధిక్కరించి నా ప్రాణమునైనా ఇస్తాను, కానీ నా భార్య ఆజ్ఞ నేను ధిక్కరించలేను అన్నాడు.
At the time of leaving my home, my wife commanded that I should go into the pandal where no other individual has gone. I am prepared to disobey your command, but I can never disobey the command of my wife. Therefore, I have come into this pandal. I cannot leave this pandal. O king, come what may.
Anaga, manasthanetunti yajamanulaku indriyamulanitti bharyalu adhikanga untunta cheta ee indriyamulanitti bharyalaku ఈ మనస్సు వశమైపోయినది అనేటువంటి ఈ అంతరార్థం.
ద ఇన్నర్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఈజ్ యాజ్ మైండ్ హ్యాస్ 10 సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ యాజ్ ది వాయిస్, ఇట్ హెస్ బీన్ కంట్రోల్డ్ బై ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు కంట్రోల్ దెమ్.
కనుక ఈ ఇంద్రియములు మనస్సుకు స్వాధీనమైపోయి కేవలము మనస్సు మార్గమే పాటిస్తూ ఉంటుంది, కానీ బుద్ధికి ఏమాత్రం కూడా వశం కావటం లేదు.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అట్ ఆల్. It is swayed by the sense organs.
Deham kante ati sukshmamainatundi indriyamulu.
Sense organs are subtler than the
indriyamulu kante ati sukshmamainatundi shariramu. Anaga manasu.
Mind is subtler than the senses.
Manasu kante ati sukshmamainatundi buddhi.
Intelligence is subtler than
buddhi kante ati sukshmamainatundi atma.
Atma is subtler than the intelligence.
Sarvam kudunu atma vasam kavalsam tappadu.
Everything has to be under the control of atma.
Kanuka manavattamulo indriyamulu anetuntivi maha balavantaram anetuntivi.
Sense organs at the same time are very powerful with reference to human beings.
Ee indriyamulu mottamotta manam arikattinappude jeevitham aadarshavantamaina jeevithanga roopondutundi.
We can transform our life into an ideal life only when we exercise control over sense organs.
Ee naadu yuvakulu ఇంద్రియములను అరికట్టలేకపోవటం చేతనే వారి యొక్క నడకలు కానీ, వారి యొక్క నిలకడ కానీ, వారి యొక్క కూర్చోవటం కానీ అన్ని కూడా విరుద్ధమైన మార్గం అవలంబిస్తున్నాయి.
ద ఎంటైర్ కాండక్ట్ అండ్ బిహేవియర్ ఆఫ్ ది యూత్ టుడే ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ద రాంగ్ పాత్ బికాస్ దే హావ్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు కంట్రోల్ ద సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్.
ఒక్కరైనా కూడా క్లాస్ రూమ్ లో కానీ కదల మెదలక సరైన రీతిలో కూర్చునేటువంటి యొక్క విద్యార్థి కనిపించడం లేదు.
I have not been able to see even one student who is steady while sitting in a classroom and while listening.
ye vidhanga nadachali, ye vidhanga kurchovali, ye vidhanga nidrinchali, ye vidhanga maatadali, peddalato undinappudu ye vidhanga manu pravartinchali aneetundi vishayamu kevalam variki e maatramu teliyadu.
They really do not know even in a limited way what is the proper way of walking, talking, how to respect elders.
ఏదైనా ఒక మిత్రునితో మాట్లాడుతున్నప్పుడు ఆ మిత్రుని వైపునే దృష్టి ఉండాలి, కానీ అటు ఇటు ఇటు అటు చూసుకుంటూ మిత్రునితో మాట్లాడకూడదు.
When you are talking to a friend of yours, you should fix your vision only on your friend. Should not go on looking this side.
పలు విధములుగా కూడా ప్రసరింప చేయకూడదు.
You should not divert your vision this side and that side.
ఇది యువకులకు చాలా ప్రమాదమైనటువంటిది. దృష్టిని సరి అయినటువంటి దృష్టిగా తాను నిలుపుకోవడానికి చూసుకోవాలి.
ఇట్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఎసెన్షియల్ ఫర్ ద యూత్ టు హ్యావ్ ప్రాపర్ విజన్.
ఎవరితోనైనా మాట్లాడుతున్నప్పుడు అనేక రకములుగా కూడాను అన్ని అంగములు కూడాను కదిలిస్తూ ఉంటారు.
వెన్ యూఆర్ టాకింగ్ టు సమ్వన్ యూ డు నాట్ బీ యు ఆర్ నాట్ స్టడీ అట్ ఆల్.
కొంతమంది మాట్లాడుతుంటే ఉపన్యాసాలు చేస్తుంటే పెద్ద డాన్స్ ఆడినట్టుగా ఉంటుంటారు, చేతులు కాళ్ళు అంతా ఆడిస్తూ ఇదంతా వికారమైన చేస్తున్నట్టుగా రూపొందుతాయి.
Some people, when they are talking or giving a speech, they make such gestures, moving their hands, etc.
అంగములు ఆడించకుండా మాట్లాడాలి.
One should be able to speak without making unnecessary
noise. ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ప్రయత్నమును చేస్తూ చేస్తూ రాగా క్రమక్రమేణా ఇంద్రియములు అభ్యాసం చేత అవి ఆ సరైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశిస్తాయి.
If you make efforts in this direction, you'll be able to, on account of practice, control your sense organs.
కనుకనే శ్రేయోహి జ్ఞానం అభ్యాసాత్ జ్ఞానాధ్యానం విశిష్యతే జ్ఞానకర్మ ఫలత్యాగ త్యాగశాంతి అనంతరం అని.
దట్ ఈస్ వై ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్.
ప్రతి ఒక్క దానికి మనం ప్రాక్టీస్ అభ్యాసం చేయాలి.
యూ హ్యావ్ టు ప్రాక్టీస్ అండ్ గెట్ ది బెనిఫిట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్.
అభ్యాసం లేకుండా దేనిని మనం సాధించలేము.
యూ కెనాట్ అచీవ్ ఎనీథింగ్ వితౌట్ ప్రాపర్ ప్రాక్టీస్.
పుట్టినప్పటి నుంచి కూర్చోవటం అభ్యాసం చేయాలి, నడచడం అభ్యాసం చేయాలి, పరిగెత్తడం అభ్యాసం చేయాలి, మాట్లాడటం అభ్యాసం చేయాలి, అన్నం తినడం అభ్యాసం చేయాలి. ఇవన్నీ అభ్యాసం చేత ఏర్పడినటువంటివి.
రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ బర్త్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్ లైక్ ఈటింగ్ ఫుడ్, వాకింగ్, టాకింగ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ లెర్న్.
బజార్లో నడిచే సమయంలో చూస్తే ఈనాటి విద్యార్థులు
when they are moving in the road, the way that the students conduct is
40 adugula roadaina kuda nadachadaniki sthanam undadu vaadaku
teen anta kuda prahladudu idi yavana sannipathakam yokka lakshanamu annaru. Prahlada described this as the disease of the youth.
Tama adugulanu taamu chustukuntu nadachali.
You should fix your sight on your
adi sarayina
walk. That is the proper walk.
నడక ఎక్కడో జరుగుతుంటుంది, చూపులు ఎక్కడో పోతుంటుంది, దీనివల్ల ప్రమాదం జరుగుతుంటుంది, యాక్సిడెంట్ సంభవిస్తుంటాయి, తద్వారా అనవసరమైనటువంటి యొక్క బాధలకు గురి అవుతుంటాడు.
లుకింగ్ దిస్ సైడ్ అండ్ దట్ సైడ్ అండ్ వాకింగ్ ల్యాండ్స్ యూ ఇన్ టు ట్రబుల్ అండ్ ఈవెన్ యాక్సిడెంట్స్. దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్ కరెక్ట్.
కనుక ఈ విధమైన అభ్యాసం చేత మన ఇంద్రియాలను మనం కొంతవరకు సమన్వయం గావించుకోవచ్చు.
బై ప్రాపర్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ టు కంట్రోల్ ద సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ అండ్ బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ ఈక్వల్ మైండెడ్నెస్.
Oh, there was a clip of it. There was a beautiful story, a hilarious story there, and such profound and direct instructions from Swami.
Correct.
Is what has to be done. Beautiful.
I doubt if Prahlada ever told the story.
Very true.
But Swami puts it in the context, because actually, if you look at it, Prahlada is like an icon for youngsters. And So Swami, you know, it's so interesting, because Swami was once mentioning in Thrai that why do I make all these people speak to you?
Okay.
See, Swami can speak what he wants to speak, and he says you identify yourself more with them because they are like you, and youngsters speak, your own boys speak, your own classmates speak, your own teachers speak. Then you listen to them more. I tend to identify, so I make them speak. Similarly here, Swami has made Prahlada speak the story, because we can identify with somebody of our age, possibly younger a bit.
And you know, of course, Swami tells this very, very nice and funny story, which you all laugh with, but such a profound meaning. Swami says, you know,
that's
Swami
true.
Is talking about a hen-pecked husband. And when Swami says that your mind is the husband and your senses are the wives, it's
the
such
whole
a profound,
story
it's such
just,
a profound one.
That's true.
My God.
The whole story takes a new dimension.
Right. And you feel so silly of yourself. You know, as long as it's a wife and her husband, and Swami puts this story, the tent and all that, you feel like you're laughing at a second person. But the moment Swami says the lesson of the story is the mind, which is supposed to be the husband, and the wives, namely the senses. It's a pitiable state. You feel so guilty about yourself, literally.
Correct.
You know? Very, very beautiful story. And then some of these direct things which Swami says, moments while talking and
correct.
Seeing a person, it's very, very beautiful what Swami says. When someone is talking to you, you have to look at that person and not look elsewhere. Your concentration, not only in your mind, but even in your sight, should be on that person. It's very beautiful thing. and while walking, looking at the road and walking. And you know, it is very difficult to say how this will actually influence the mind. I really can't say, but if you look at it, till now Swami is telling you have to control the mind, you have to control the senses, you have to focus your mind, you have to merge the you know, speech and the mind. But here Swami is telling, see, okay, forget all that. I will give you three or four simple ones. Out with practice, try to practice all these things.
Practice is the most important. Right. He says, with practice, you can definitely control. And restraining your senses to that level, you know, when that, you know, when you're walking, instead of looking here and there, just look on the road and walk. And everything, all the instructions that Swami has given here, specifically for youngsters, you know, it's a way of restraining the natural tendencies of your senses to look here and there.
Right.
So, in the Gita, Swami quotes a sloka from the Gita, and elsewhere also, Krishna is telling, Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagrihyati. He says, with abhyasa, with practice, you can even get renunciation, Vairagya. You can, so, it's, I think, these are direct, but the beauty is, you know, if somebody would come and tell you, don't look here and there, concentrate, do this, this is not right, why are you doing this, why are you doing that, all these do's and don'ts, they sound very, you know, why are you trying to restrain me, why are you trying to control me, but when put in the context, Swami has put it so beautifully in the context, that these are stepping stones to actually controlling your senses, then suddenly you start seeing the bigger picture. These are not, you know, I think that's how most of our Indian traditions and our culture, Sanatan Samskriti, lot of the traditions like touch the feet of the parents and then, you know, be submissive, be humble, and many of these are derived from these instructions, like the instructions here, close your eyes and pray to the Lord, don't look here and there when you go to a temple. These are things which we are taught as a part of our tradition. But inside them somewhere, the actual intent is that you should control your senses, that you should be able to subdue them.
And you know, some of these instructions, so many times you've heard Swami telling, even, you know, in close circles of students. I remember how many instructions Swami used to give for those who give speeches in front of Swami.
Very true.
You know, I remember once, I think, in my post-graduation days, one of the boys was speaking. He had the habit. Nothing. It was just an impulsive habit of him raising his eyebrows when he was speaking.
Okay.
So whenever he was making what he felt was a profound point, there would be an accentuated movement of his eyebrows.
Okay.
And saying that, you know, so it happened. Like, so the thing was there. And Swami said like this. And you can see, you know, the boy was standing beside Swami and talking. He was not even in front of Swami. And Swami was all the while only looking at students, a very casual glance every now and then at him. Okay. And even as the talk was going, we could see Swami's expressions. Swami was upset about something. And it was nevertheless a very good speech. But when he came back, the first thing Swami said, even as he was taking Padmanamaskaras, why were you doing all those movement with your eyebrows? Why are you making like that? And it's maybe that boy would have felt a little hurt that, you know, you give a speech for 10 minutes and everybody is applauding and it's been a good speech. But here is Swami picking out something which was such a small and trivial error in your eye. But I think in Swami's eye, these are all very, very important things. The way Swami is putting it, these are the instructions for youngsters. And some of these things, like, you know, and maybe we could just quickly say what are the things exactly Swami is saying here. One is when you're speaking to somebody, you look at them and speak. You don't look away and look at other things around. When you walk on the road, you look at the road you're walking on. Swami is saying so many accidents happen because people don't watch where they're walking. And then another thing is when you sleep, you have to sleep flat.
That's
not curled up.
Amazing. These are all, see, definitely these are all very scientific in what Swami is saying. And if you look at, if you just, that's what, again, it comes back to the same analogy. The doctor is giving you a medicine. If you have faith in the doctor and take the medicine, you don't need to know the composition of the medicine. You're cured. Similarly, Swami has given these instructions. even if you don't know why, how, what, where, you just follow the instructions. Because we are so fortunate that he has spoon-fed us. You just follow the instructions, automatically things will happen. Like, you know, it's again comes back to the same point where Swami has told, let the students follow the hostel routine. He has set the hostel routine in such a way that automatically the benefit accrued thereof is control of senses and, you know, mastering the mind. Everything is built in. The body, mind and soul, all three are catered to.
Something which Swami would always say about the hostel routine is change of work is rest.
True.
That was something which Swami had drilled into our head, you know. Mm-hmm. You're doing something, do something else and take that as your rest or as your cooling off period. Should we go to the next clip?
I think
Swami might go on to speak about practice because that was the emphasis towards the end of that clip.
I think there are a few more instructions coming up. Let's go on
and listen to those instructions then.
కొంతమంది నిద్రించే సమయం లోపల మరింత వికారంగా ఉంటారు.
Whilst lying down and sleeping, some people's posture will be rather awkward.
చాకలవాడు కట్టగట్టి ఒక పెద్ద మూటను ఎత్తుకుని పోతే ఆ మూట మాదిరి తయారైపోతారు.
They themselves become into a small bundle, like the bundle carried by a washerman.
ఉంగి చాలా కుక్కిచ్చి పండుకుంటాడు.
They bring all these limbs so close,
అనేక రోగములకు కూడా గురి అవుతారు.
On account of such posture, people would suffer from various ailments.
కూర్చున్న సమయం లోపల ఏ 70 ఏళ్ళు 80 ఏళ్ళ మాదిరి ఇట్లా కూర్చుంటారు. ఇది మంచిది కాదు.
Even sitting posture, when they sit,
ఈ స్పైనల్ కాలం బెండ్ అయిపోతే అతి త్వరలోపలే వృద్ధాప్యం ప్రాప్తిస్తుంది.
If while sitting you bend the spinal column, you get premature old age.
నడిచే సమయంలో చక్కగా కర్ర వలె నడచాలి.
While walking, you should walk like a straight stick.
కూర్చున్నప్పుడు కూడా అంటే ఒక కర్ర వలె కూర్చోవాలి.
While sitting also, should stick
తీగవలే కూర్చోకూడదు.
Should not bend.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అభ్యాసములు శారీరకంగా మనం అభ్యాసం చేసినప్పుడే ఇంద్రియములు క్రమక్రమేణా కూడా మనకు వశమవుతూ వస్తాయి.
If you undertake the physical practices on these lines, you'll be able to also control the sense organs.
అనవసరమైన విషయాల్లో మనం ప్రవేశించకూడదు.
Do not enter into unnecessary things.
ఈనాటి మానవత్వంలో ఉండేటువంటి బలహీనత అది.
This is the greatest weakness of the human.
కన్నులు కనిపించక, చెవులు వినిపించక, ఏదో ఒక మూల ఉండినటువంటి ఒక వ్యక్తి అయినప్పటికీ ఎవరో ఇద్దరు అక్కడ చేర్చి ఏమిటి మాట్లాడుతున్నారు ఈ ప్రశ్న వేస్తుంటారు.
An old man who has lost the sight, who has lost his hearing power, sitting in one corner also cannot keep quiet.
వారు ఏమి మాట్లాడితే నీకెందుకు, ఇందులో నీవెందుకు ప్రవేశించాలి?
He goes on asking, what are they talking? Why do you bother about such a thing?
ఊరికి అందరి దగ్గరికి వెళ్లి మాట్లాడుతూ ఉంటుంటారు కొంతమంది.
Some people go on talking to every person.
కేవలం ఒక దురభ్యాసంగా ఉంటుంటారు.
This is a very bad habit.
ఇతరుల విషయాలంతా కూడా ప్రశ్నిస్తుంటారు. అతను ఏం చెప్పాడు, ఇతను ఏం చెప్పాడు, ఇతనికి ఎందుకు ఇవన్నీ?
They go on questioning, what did he say? What did the other person say? Why are you bothered about such things?
కనుక ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క దుశ్చేష్టల వల్లనే ఇంద్రియములు మరింత బాధకు గురి చేస్తున్నాయి.
The sense organs go astray and cause you infinite
harm.
Do not bother yourself about other
people. Anta maatrame neevu teesuko.
Mind your business and confine to yourself.
చిక్కిన వారి దగ్గరంతా మాట్లాడటం చేత అది కేవలం ఒక గౌరవహీనం అయిపోతుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ గో ఆన్ టాకింగ్ టు ఈచ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్, యూ లూజ్ యువర్ రెస్పెక్ట్.
ఎవరు కూడా నిన్ను గౌరవించరు.
నో వన్ విల్ రెస్పెక్ట్ యూ.
ఏదైనా నీ వస్తున్నటువంటి చూచి వస్తున్నాడు రా ఈ వాయాడని వాళ్ళ పక్కకి వెళ్ళిపోతారు.
This, the moment they sight you coming towards them, they will say they would like to avoid you and go away.
ఏదైనా నీకు అవసరం ఉంటే గుడ్ మార్నింగ్, గుడ్ మార్నింగ్, హౌ ఆర్ యూ అంతే చాలు, ఇంకేమో.
Let the greetings be, good morning, how are
you? బజార్లో నిల్చుకుని మాట్లాడేటువంటి ఒక దురభ్యాసం మహా చెడ్డది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ గ్రేట్ వీక్నెస్ అండ్ డిఫెక్ట్ టు గో
అండ్ అవసరమైతే హాస్టల్ కి వెళ్లిన తర్వాత, రూమ్ కు వెళ్లిన తర్వాత ఆ విషయాన్ని గుర్తించుకోవడానికి ప్రయత్నించవచ్చు.
When you go to the hostel and to your room, if there is anything very important to know,
కనుక బజార్లో పోయే సమయంలో యువకులు ఎవరు కూడా మాట్లాడరాదు.
While walking on the road, the youth should not indulge in talking.
మీ చూపును అదుపులో పెట్టుకోవాలి.
Control your sight.
మనం మనుషులము, కాకులము కాదు.
We are not crows. We are human beings.
కాకులైతే అటు ఇటు ఒక్క చడమైన కూడా స్థిరంగా ఉంటుండవు.
It is natural for a crow to look that side and this side, not for the man.
కనుక ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క క్రమశిక్షణను మనం పాటించినప్పుడే నిజమైన మానవత్వాన్ని పొందినటువంటి వారం అవుతాం.
ఇఫ్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్ దిస్ డిసిప్లిన్ దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ కుడ్ బి కాల్డ్ ఎ రియల్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్.
విద్యార్థులకు ఇది అత్యవసరం.
ఫర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ స్పెషలీ దిస్ ఇస్ ఎసెన్షియల్.
చదివే సమయం లోపల సరైనటువంటి స్థితిలో మనం కూర్చొని చదువుకోవాలి.
వైల్ రీడింగ్ ఎ బుక్ స్టడీంగ్ లెట్ యువర్ పోస్చర్ బి కరెక్ట్.
ఎందుకనగా ఈ దేహమునకు ఒక ప్రత్యేకమైనటువంటి విశిష్టత ఉంటుండాలి.
దేర్ ఇస్ అ స్పెషల్ ఫీచర్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ద బాడీ.
పశువులకు మృగములకు స్పైనల్ కాలం వంగి ఉంటాయి.
ఫర్ ది యానిమల్స్ అండ్ బీస్ ద స్పైనల్ కాలం ఈజ్ బెంట్.
కానీ మనిషికి స్పైనల్ కాలం చక్కగా ఉంటుంటుంది.
బట్ ఫర్ ద మ్యాన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ స్ట్రైట్.
ఈ మూలాధారం నుంచి సహస్రార పద్మం వరకు పోయేటువంటి యొక్క మార్గములు అది సరైనటువంటిగా ఉంటుంటాయి.
రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ మూలాధార టు సహస్రార దేర్ ఈస్ ఏ స్ట్రైట్ లైన్ బిట్వీన్.
కనుకనే ఇవి సరి అయినటువంటి స్థితిలో సరి అయినటువంటి ఆలోచన సలుపుతూ ఉంటాయి.
దట్ ఈస్ ద రీజన్ వై పీపుల్ వుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు థింక్.
అట్టు కాకుండా వంగిపోతే ఇది సక్రమమైనటువంటి మార్గం అనుసరించదు.
ఇఫ్ ది స్పైనల్ కాలం బికమ్స్ క్రుకెడ్ దెన్ యూ వుడ్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు ఎంజాయ్.
ప్రతి మానవుని ఎందుకు కూడా 101 నాడములు ఉంటున్నాయి.
దేర్ ఆర్ 101
అందులో ఒక్క నాడం మాత్రమే ప్రత్యేకంగా ఉంటుంటాయి.
దేర్ ఇస్ అ వన్ స్పెషల్ నర్వ్ విచ్ ఈస్ రాదర్ యునిక్.
అది కేవలము సహస్రార పద్మంతో సంబంధమై ఉంటుంటుంది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ సహస్రార.
ఇది ఆధ్యాత్మిక మార్గమునందు జ్ఞాననిష్టలతో కూడినటువంటి వారికి ఇది సహాయకారిగా ఉంటుంది.
ఫర్ ఇన్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ పాత్ ఫర్ పీపుల్ విత్ ఏ విజ్డమ్ విజన్ వుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు గెట్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్.
కనుకనే ఈ నాడం అనేటువంటి చాలా ప్రధానమైనటువంటిది.
దిస్ పర్టికులర్ నర్వ్ ఈజ్ అ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్.
దీనిని సుషుమ్న నాడి అన్నారు.
This nerve is described as
Shidharana. Sushumna nadi yokka tattvam lopala bhumadhyamulandu cherinappude ee sushumna nadi chaala pratyekamainatundi yokka ekagratanu andistundi.
When the ida pingala the movement is enjoyed or comes together with sushumna near the eyebrows, then there will be concentration.
Spinal column lopala 33 ringulu unnai.
There are 33 rings in the spinal column.
Andu lopala 9 to 12 వరకు ఉండేటువంటి దాని ఎందే
బిట్వీన్ ది 9th అండ్ ది 12th
సుషుమ్నా నాడి అనేటువంటిది చక్కగా వెలుగుతూ ఉంటుంది.
ది సుషుమ్నా నాడి విల్ బి షైనింగ్.
కనుకనే వేదములందు నీలతో మధ్యస్థ విద్యు లేకే వాసర నీవార సుఖవర్తంతే అని అనేక రకములుగా దాన్ని వర్ణిస్తూ వచ్చారు. నీలతో మధ్యంత విద్యు లేకే భవాసర, నల్లటి మేఘముల మధ్య ఒక్కతూరి మించు మించినప్పుడు ఎంత ప్రకాశంగా ఉంటాదో ఆ విధంగా మన స్పైనల్ కాలం లోపల విద్యుల్లేఖ అనేటువంటి ఒక్కతూరి మించుతూ ఉంటాదట. అదే మన యొక్క ప్రాణ ఆధారం.
లైక్ ది లైట్నింగ్ ఎగ్నిస్ ది బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్ ఆఫ్ డార్క్ క్లౌడ్స్, దిస్ సుషుమ్న నాడి విల్ బి షైనింగ్ ఇన్ అవర్ స్పైనల్ కాలం విత్ దట్ స్ప్లెండర్.
కుండలిని యోగం చేసేటువంటి వారికి సరిగా అర్థమవుతుంది.
పీపుల్ హూ ఫాలో దిస్ కుండలిని యోగా విల్
ఏ యోగమైనా చెయ్యి. యోగం చేయకపోయినప్పటికీ నీవు సరి అయినటువంటి స్థితిలోనే నీవు దేహాన్ని ఉంచుకోవాలి.
వెదర్ యు డూ యోగా ఆర్ నాట్ డజన్ మ్యాటర్ బట్ కీప్ యువర్ బాడీ ఇన్ స్ట్రైట్ పోస్చర్.
పండుకుంటారు బోల్డ,
యు లై డౌన్,
దిండు పైన బుక్ను పెట్టుకుంటారు.
దే కీప్ ద బుక్ ఆన్
నార్మల్ అంబుల్ వాళ్ళే ఉంచుతారు.
అండ్ దే బెండ్ దేర్ లెగ్స్ అండ్ దే వాంట్ టు స్టడీ.
ఇలాంటి వారికి ఎన్ని గంటలు చదివినప్పటికీ అక్కడ ఏమాత్రం కూడా నువ్వు తలకెక్కదు.
ఫర్ పీపుల్ హూ స్టడీ ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ పోస్చర్ వుడ్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు
గట్టిగా ఉంచుకోవాలి. కానీ ఇక్కడ ఎత్తి అక్కడ ఎత్తి అమ్మును కట్టినట్టుగా ఉంటుంటుంది అది.
ఇఫ్ యు రేజ్ యువర్ హెడ్ ఆన్ ది వన్ ఎండ్ అండ్ రేజ్ యువర్ లెగ్స్ ఆన్ ది అదర్ అండ్ లై డౌన్ అండ్ స్లీప్.
ఇలాంటి వికారమైనటువంటి యొక్క చేష్టల వల్లనే విద్యార్థులకు సరి అయినటువంటి జ్ఞాపశక్తి లేకపోతుండాలి.
The students are losing the memory power because they follow this kind of wrong postures.
సరియైనటువంటి జ్ఞాపకశక్తి మనకు కుదరాలంటే చక్కగా కూర్చొని చదవాలి.
If you want to have a enjoy
ఒకవేళ అసంతగా ఉంటే బుక్ కట్టి పెట్టేయి, నువ్వు నిద్రపో, సంతోషం, తప్పు లేదు.
If you do not feel like reading book, keep the book aside.
అనవసరంగా ఈ నిర్బంధ మార్గస్నానం ఎందుకు?
Why do you study in this kind of posture?
నువ్వు టైర్డ్ గా ఉండినప్పుడు, అలసటిగా ఉండినప్పుడు చదవకూడదు.
ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ రియలీ టైర్డ్ డోంట్ స్టడీ.
ఏదో చదవాలి 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 అనే ఉద్దేశంతో టీని పక్కన పెట్టుకుని దాన్ని త్రాగుతూ నిద్రపోతూ చదువుతుంటే ఇలాంటి అవస్థల వల్ల ఏమాత్రము చదివి ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
ఇన్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ స్టడీ టేకింగ్ ద టీ
హ్యావింగ్ ది టీయర్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ అండ్ స్టడీయింగ్ దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ బ్యాడ్ హ్యాబిట్స్.
ఈ జ్ఞాపక శక్తి పోవటమే కాకుండా ముందు నీకు చాలా కొన్ని భయంకరమైనటువంటి వ్యాధులు కూడా సంభవిస్తాయి.
నాట్ మెయిర్లీ యువర్ మెమరీ పవర్ విల్ డిక్లైన్ బట్ లేటర్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ యూ విల్ ఫేస్ మెనీ అదర్ డేంజర్స్.
చేతులు కాళ్ళు అదురుతాయి.
యూ విల్ గెట్ ఎ టైప్ ఆఫ్ షివరింగ్
అబౌట్ రుమాటిక్ పెయిన్స్ అంతా ప్రారంభమవుతాయి.
దెర్ విల్ బి రుమాటిక్ పెయిన్స్ విచ్ విల్ డెవలప్.
I think there was a clip where Swami was mentioning a lot of technical things. And I found it really difficult to follow some of the things that Swami was saying, because Swami was talking about the nadis and the Kundalini yoga.
Yeah.
But quite a graphic, this one. But you know, again, you can see that where Swami is making all these complex points and terminologies and all that. And then he's breaking it down to practically what can you do. Okay, you forget all that if it makes no sense to you.
Mm.
You know, Swami is giving very, very practical things. You sit straight and you read.
Mm.
And to think, these are all practices which youngsters, we all have followed, you know, when you study late into the night.
Just wish that all the students hear to this section especially.
Really.
Because it would really help them a lot. And the typical thing, you know, sit on the bed and try to read and try to drink tea at the same time. That's all he mentions.
You know, of course, here Swami doesn't mention this point, but Swami would always say that early morning is a much better time to study than late into the night.
That's true.
But you know, when we listen to some of these things, at least for a person like me who's come to Swami's fold in the college days, we can see that, you know, how many bad habits have been taught to us as normal.
Mm.
If you look at these things,
mm-hmm.
Swami is saying that these are all the flaws which in student days,
mm-hmm.
which cause so many diseases in the later years. It just goes to see that how so many thousands and millions of students are going through schooling without actually understanding that these are all so harmful.
Very true. They think it's a great achievement that we sat the whole night.
We sat the whole night and flask of tea, and we all love. And in fact, you know, we glorify the image of a student studying like that.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to portray somebody hardworking, you show like, you know, he's got books all around him, and he's lying on the floor and there's a flask of tea. But, you know, Swami's, and one more thing is, if you look at it, one thing is, how long can you sit in a straight posture and study? Now you might wonder, it's easier to lie down and study for a few hours, but I think Swami is saying that you don't need to study for so long. And again, bring it back to the point of the hostel schedule. Even this morning we happened to discuss about that. Technically speaking, only 1.5 hours of that study hours is meant for studying.
Correct.
Otherwise, throughout the day, either you're, of course, other than the time you spend in the hostel, in the college. There is no time where you actually sit and study. So Swami is saying, almost saying that, you know, do all this, you study for 1.5 hours a day, that is good enough for you. And literally, I'm sure, you know, many students have found this happening with them, that hours and hours of study in their school did not give them as much results as that 1.5 hours of study which we did in the hostel, having a mind fresh by keeping it occupied in all these activities throughout the day.
That's true. You know, also, if you just look at the whole idea of coming and sitting in the mandir.
Mm-hmm.
Swami comes for darshan. Then after darshan, Swami takes a group for interview. I mean, where else will you have at least 1,000 students, youth, sitting there just waiting for Swami to come out again? Yes, you are studying, you are doing something else. But the discipline of actually being seated without getting up, walking here and there, just, you know, you cannot say that he enforced the discipline. It came with a lot of love, but he made sure that you are disciplined. In fact, in some of the interviews with some of the old devotees, Swami would, you know, at that time, even to answer the call of nature, they had to go to Chitravati or go to the forest side. And Swami would be very clear. He said, you should have that much control. If you have to go for call of nature, do it in the morning. And then, can't you sit for 4 hours without moving? He would demand that from the devotees. And he would really chide them if they had to, Swami, I have to go. And why sit? And it was endless bhajan at that time, in the Pathamandir days. That's why that auntie was telling us that Swami would come, sit, talk, sing, again talk, and then ask others to sing. So the session would be actually on. It would go on for 4 or 5 hours at a stretch. You should not forget the fact that Swami himself has been sitting there. I mean, he sat and taught that you also can sit, you can also control yourself. You can also sit for this stretch of time without moving here and there.
You know, we mentioned this person so many times during our discussions, and you know, many of these things we learn from our elders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's again worth mentioning his name, you know, Professor Habu sir, who was the principal of, I remember towards the end of his life, he had undergone some prostate surgery and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So he had little poor control over his nature's call and all that. I remember for a good 1 or 2 weeks after he had recovered from the surgery and all that, he refused to come to the mandir. Because for one singular reason, he said, I cannot come there and then come out if I have to answer the nature's call. He said, till I am able to sit in a place for 2 hours without moving, I will not come to mandir for darshan.
What an
because
idea.
He said, no, Swami doesn't like that. I cannot come and sit there and every now and then get up.
Amazing.
And I remember how much difficulty he went through to be able to go and sit there for 2 hours. He made sure that, you know, he would practice that, okay, I'm able to sit for 2 hours, 3 hours without wanting to go to the toilet. So that's when he said, okay, now I can come and sit.
Amazing.
Really. That's what some of these things which are so dear to Swami, as you said, we might never understand what is the importance of these things. What will be the benefit that we will accrue if we do such things? But just out of that love for Swami.
We did it.
Swami likes it. We do it.
That's all. I mean, everything that Swami made the students do, and still students are doing with that love for Swami, on the deeper side, it is to bring in all this. Talk less and do this, have concentration, have less contacts, have less friends. God is your true friend. All these instructions at different levels, how Swami has taught. It's like, you know, somebody telling you a coded message. You know, you just follow this. This is the secret to your success. And slowly you start discovering the inner meaning of each of these.
And you know, that is the very point which Swami is making. It is not easy. The very first paragraph, no? One should gently persuade the intellect to turn gradually towards the Atma.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best way to control the senses.
Mm.
And here, whenever we talked of Atma, when we talked about self, whenever we spoke of God, there was only Swami. And as long as we were able to keep that focus on Swami, these were not big things at all for us. Sitting there for 4 hours, 5 hours was not a big thing, because you were sitting there for Swami.
Exactly.
And you know, it never felt like, oh, we're sitting in a place for 4 hours. Or
I mean, even you know, during the sports meet, during other things, students would never sleep there, and at the same time, since the institute is quite strict, you cannot take an off. So students have, they don't sleep the whole night and go to the college next day, go through the entire routine and again sit for a night out on the next day, just having an hour sleep or 1.5 hour sleep. And we have done all that, and Swami gives you the strength. He gives you the strength to control sleep, to control food, hunger, and you forget everything in the love for God.
I remember once one of the very, very senior alumnus was talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
He was of that old Vrindavan days when boys were studying actually in the Bangalore University, but the college and classes were in Vrindavan.
Yes.
So they had to go to Bangalore University to write the exam.
Mm-hmm.
After they finished the graduation, they would study in Bangalore University but stay in the hostel in Vrindavan.
Correct.
And they were doing tremendous work. You know, they used to be taking care of the cows. They used to be plowing the field.
Correct.
They would be, you know, taking care of the kitchen and the hostel and all these things. This particular student, he was saying, you know, that was a time when it had rained. So the caretaker of Vrindavan, Mr. Ramramam, he had come and told him that, see, it has rained, so it is a good time to plow the field now. So this boy had got up early in the morning around 3:34 and he was plowing the field. You know, you take the tractor and he was going around doing the thing. Around 7:30 or 8, sometime later in the morning, Swami suddenly asked, where is this boy? Okay, and then they said, no, Swami, he's there in the field, he's doing. And Swami said, hey, today he has an exam at 10:30. Go call him. Okay, that boy has forgotten that he has an exam. Okay, and Swami sends word that they go and call him. And Swami said, hey, what are you doing? Today you have an exam at 10:30. And those were the days it used to take around 2 hours to reach city. So Swami arranged for a car. And Swami said, you get ready and go. That boy, he was saying that year he got 4 gold medals.
Wow. I think plowing the field is the shortcut.
And he said that is how they lived. Because they did whatever was required. They had to take care of all these things. They took care. Yes. And when suddenly one day Swami would say that, hey, you're spending too much time with me. You're not able to study. Next 1 week, you'll all study. Okay. And they would study and they would all excel in the exam. And you know, Swami would go to the extent of our Raghma sir used to say, during the exam time, when the university exams would go on, Swami would say, no darshans on Sundays. Or Swami would say, darshans only on Thursdays and Sundays. Because rest of the days, the ashram is full and the students get disturbed.
To that extent, Swami would... Amazing. Like, living with God is true education. And this is also, you know, akin to the Gurukulam style of education, where you're living with the Guru and it's not just the period of... when he's teaching you all the time.
So dear listeners, that I think should be where we draw the line for this week's Shravanam Mananam Nidhyasanam. We've shot a little bit into the outside, inside, deep inside segment, but in a very short while from now we shall be joining you for that segment, thanking Swami for this opportunity to listen to these discourses. They're worth listening any number of times. And we are happy to do this in your company. If you have any thoughts about this program, if you have any feedback to let us know, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Till we meet next week, same time. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Sai Prakash. We thank you for your company, and please do continue listening. Jai Sai Ram.